You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ, Bucky, together again. Buck, I got to be honest with you, man. I was talking to somebody the other day, and somebody that's not really in our football world, so to speak, just had an interesting observation and question. He goes, hey, so you guys still do the podcast during this time of the year? I'm like, yeah, you're darn right we do the podcast this time of year. Now, we go from 3 to 2. But we keep the train moving here, even though technically there's not a heck of a lot going on in the NFL world. But I think that allows us to kind of tap into the creative side a little bit, see if we can come up with something.
Yeah, DJ, this is the fun time. I mean, this is when you get a chance to do some little last minute projects when it comes to looking around the league. In a month or so, we'll begin to talk about the college prospects, guys we're looking forward to seeing in the 2024 class. And then we start ramping up for training camp. And so, look, anyone who has been around the National Football League knows it never ends. It has become a 12-month affair. And even though this is vacation month, everyone has an eye towards training camp because before you know it, we'd be right at it.
Yeah, no doubt. Today on the show, we are going to finish up our position draft, which, by the way, people seem to have strong opinions, strong takes when they post that stuff on social with us going back. And a lot of times when you post something on social media, there's no context. So people are like, how could you say, look at all the Nick Chubb's done, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know, this is for this year. This is not a lifetime achievement award. This is for who thinks can have a big year.
So speaking of people being upset, I kind of want to debunk some of the things that are floating around the Twitterverse. And it started with our conversation about Sauce Gardner. You and I both talked about in the last episode, you kind of helped me go through this project I was working on that published on Friday. We were talking about 10 non-quarterback franchise building blocks. And Sauce Gardner was the only cornerback that we used. And so there was a lot of pushback. One, people saying East Coast bias. Well, let's clear it up. DJ and I are both on the West Coast.
Exactly.
So there's East Coast bias when it comes to it. But I thought the conversation was interesting because they were like, hey, If you look at their numbers, you look at their stats, these guys should be viewed as the same, as opposed to treating Sauce Gardner like he's a Hall of Famer and excluding Tariq Woolen from the conversation. So I'll throw out to you, what are the differences in your mind between Sauce Gardner and Tariq Woolen, even though both had exceptional rookie seasons?
I would say that there's the playmaking side of Tariq Woolen is exceptional, no doubt. I think Tariq Woolen falls into the Diggs category of corner, which is a guy who's made some plays. But, you know, I don't even know what the right term is. We used to always say, I don't think you can say it anymore. You say, oh, a guy has a lot of blood on his hands, meaning like he gives up some plays too.
Double agent.
Yeah, exactly. Double agent. There you go. That's a better phrase to use. But I would say he's a little bit more of a double agent, whereas Sauce Gardner, he makes plays when given opportunities, all right? So he can find and play the ball. But the opportunities are limited because there's so much respect that people just stop going at him. And that would be like if you were to go back and look, and I'm not comparing him to Deion, but like there were games and Deion's was rolling that like he didn't see the football. So if a corner in another game gives up four catches for 80 yards and a touchdown but has two interceptions, does that mean he's had a better game than Deion who didn't get thrown at once?
Yeah, no. So it's interesting because like people – we'll talk about those guys and some of the other things. I think everyone has to understand that all number one cornerbacks aren't created equal. I think for Sauce, and maybe this is some of our pre-draft bias and those things that may put them in, but Sauce Gardner was a top five pick and played like a top five pick from day one. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes when you see a player jump into the league where everyone knows exactly who he is, he wasn't a surprise find. He wasn't someone that was quickly developed and maybe the league overlooked him. He was legit from the jump. And so, yeah, maybe that curries favor when we talk about that, because in this league, and we've said it, this league has really been a first and a second round league. You look at the guys that are perennial all pros, the guys that typically don't to go jacket, they come from kind of that ilk. And so when I look at Sauce Gardner and I look at the movement skills, I look at the way that he blankets people, I look at the way that he puts his hands on the ball, to me, he's a premier corner from the jump. Tariq Woolen is outstanding. He had an outstanding rookie season. And maybe we'll have that same conversation. But to me, this conversation is very similar to when it was the Darrelle Revis, Richard Sherman conversation, right? Yep. Remember when those guys went back and forth, there was a lot of debate about who's who and what's what and Revis Island and all of this. But they came into the league differently. And so those are the things. And so there's nothing saying that you can't put Tariq Woolen in that conversation. But in the context in which we were talking about, we were talking building a franchise. And when you're building a franchise, those guys, typically, if you looked at that list that we had, I think they all were first-round picks that we talked about in terms of the pillars. And so it's that in mind. You see this guy from day one in college. You see that he's an essential piece to a championship puzzle. So you continue on with that. And as you think about building out your team, you go there. Some would say that's wrong, but I would say that is very real and truthful. That's how I came about it.
Yeah, I'm looking up some numbers as you're doing that, just so we can kind of put a bow on that conversation. So if you look at, and again, this is PFF, so we get the PFF Ultimate, which is a great resource. But according to them, and having watched every play and looking at, you know, kind of target numbers and what you've allowed, Tariq Woolen allowed 5 touchdowns and 32 first downs. Sauce Gardner allowed 1 touchdown and 16 first downs. So It's not just what you do to go get the ball. It's also what you're giving up and what you're allowing. And Sauce Gardner didn't allow any plays. So he made some plays on the ball, but more than anything else, it was the respect that he quickly garnered around the league where he didn't get challenged. And when he did get challenged, he stood up to it.
And then that's what you want to see. And I can only compare, like real life comparison for me was I had an opportunity to play with Charles Woodson his rookie season with the Raiders. I go there. He's a rookie. I've never seen someone play not only with so much swag and confidence, but so much fearlessness on the island. When I look at Sauce Gardner, I see that same fearlessness. Moment wasn't too big, despite everyone talking about he comes from a group of five program in Cincinnati. Will it be too big? Nope. Steps right in, handles it, and only gets better and better as the season goes along. And so to me, look, he's the new CB1. He's the one that we'll talk about. And there's some good cornerbacks in the league. Yeah. But when you think about lockdown corners and shutdown corners, whatever category you want to use it as, he is the guy that you can put him on that side. The 10 other guys do your own thing and you feel good about the way your defense is.
Yep. And I thank you for reminding me about the double agent term, because I was trying to think of a more appropriate term to use. And that's the one. Double agent. I used to say like he runs up both sides of the scoreboard.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Double agent. So, he's working with us, but he's also working against us.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's jump into this conversation on some of these units we think are going to be improved from last year to this year. Offense, defense. We'll do that. Then we'll jump into that safety draft in a little bit. But I want to start us off here, and I'm going to kind of lay it out for you here. Lay out the case of who the 10 worst offenses were in the league last year. Then we'll flip it over to the defense. There's a million stats you can go through. All the advanced stuff, which I love. DVOA is great. Like all those stats are fantastic. But at the end of the day, Buck, maybe I'm old school in this regard. To me, the best defenses allow the fewest points. And the worst defenses allow the most points. So I'm not going to overcomplicate this. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to give you the 10 worst offenses in the league last year in terms of the output with points. So it was Denver. How about that? Denver, 16.9 points a game. Houston, 17 a game. Indy, 17 a game. The Jets, 17.4. Tennessee, 17.5. The Rams, 18.1. As well as the Steelers, 18.1. Tampa Bay, 18.4. Washington, 18.9. And then Chicago at 19.2. So those are 10 teams I just gave you, all under 20 points a game. So those are the 10 worst offenses in the NFL. Now, I've come through and I've got four. If they're looking at them as stocks, I've got four that I'm buying, but I want to hear from you first on this. What are you looking at from that group? Who do you like making a little bit of a jump this year?
Ooh, that group one, when you talked about them, those are some nasty numbers. I mean, you talk about 16-9 for the Denver Broncos. So let's just start right there with the Denver Broncos. Regardless of whether Russell Wilson plays better or not, I have unbelievable confidence in Sean Payton's ability to fix this offense one way or the other. Sean Payton has been in this league for a long time. Sean Payton has won a Super Bowl. Sean Payton was reared the right way, worked under Jim Fossil, worked under Bill Parcells. Sean Payton knows how to do whatever is necessary to get an offense up and running. So that means if I need to run it, I'll run it. If I need to put it in the hands of the quarterback and let him throw it all over the yard, I'm willing to do that. Just from an organizational standpoint, in terms of being organized, attention to detail, he's a stone cold killer as a play caller. He has all of the things to get this offense up and running. And that's without changing the personnel. I also think he's one of the rare personalities that can go at Russell Wilson and challenge him in a way that he has to look in the mirror and say, hey, I have to improve in these areas. And because Russell Wilson has, I would say, so much respect for Drew Brees and what Drew Brees does, I think he'll take to the coaching differently than he might have taken to the coaching from Nathaniel Hackett. And because of those reasons, the Denver Broncos will be improved, vastly improved this year.
Yeah, they're one of my four. And you touched on a lot of the points that I wanted to hit on here. You mentioned Sean Payton. When you look at this team last year, Buck, looking over here, not only were they last in points per game, they were last in sacks allowed. They were last on third down. So those are areas that I just can't see them being that bad again. And you look at a couple other factors. You got two new tackles basically this year. You sign McGlinchey. I don't love McGlinchey, but he's going to be an upgrade to what they're playing with. Garrett Bowles comes back. You get him healthy and out on the field. Javonte Williams, get him back in the mix, who's a really talented young running back. So now you're looking at those guys. Not only are the tackles going to help you in the sacks, but with having the tackles healthy, having the back in the backfield, as well as a sound system there with Sean Payton, you're not going to be staring at third and forevers anymore. So those reasons, I like this Denver Broncos to make a big jump. And the other thing you mentioned with Russ, look, you knew he's going to post the workout videos. You knew that was coming. But the dude is in better shape. You can't deny the fact he looks like he's lost a lot of weight and looks like he's working hard and has got himself in shape. And I would say, and I would love your thoughts on this from the playing days as well as the scouting days. I've seen it in other sports. You know me, I'm a Padre honk. I've been following this team forever. I can't tell you the times I've seen the high-priced free agent or the new addition that first year. You're like, oh man, this is buyer's remorse. I mean, this is brutal. And then all of a sudden, the second year, I feel like, I don't know what the pressure's off, if they've adjusted to their surroundings, but I feel like you're going to get a better version of that player. And I think that's going to happen with Russ.
Yeah, I think so. It's obvious. He was so bulky and thick last year that a lot of times that works in reverse. Normally, as you get older, you get lighter because you want to take some pressure off your joints. Moving around, you're trying to retain a level of quickness as much as you can as you age gracefully. For Russell, he had a lot of humble pie. He had to hear about it, man. He has never been criticized as harshly as he's been criticized over the last year. As a competitive player, as a prideful player, he doesn't want to go out like that. And so he hears the whispers. And so I would expect him to bounce back in a major way. Sean Payton coming in. You know, and look, they talked about, I think Sean Payton talked about how Drew was saying, hey, man, my guy's wearing me out because they share a trainer down in San Diego and all that other stuff that, look, he's going to buy in. He wants to be on the Drew Brees plan. He wants to play until he's 40. He's talked about that. And so you're going to get a guy who's very dialed in to the program. He's going to be willing to adhere to the script when it comes to the game plan. And I think you're going to see the best version of that. Every player needs to be coached. Last year, I think maybe Russell found out why it's important that as a great player, you still need to take that constructive criticism and take your game to another level.
100%. So we're both on the Broncos train there. Can I give you my next pick here of these teams that I mean, it's easy. It's obvious. The Jets. Mm-hmm. The Jets average 17.4 points a game, Buck. Just the quarterback alone, you're going to go up on that number. Breece Hall coming back. The offensive line, hopefully, for once, staying healthy with Mekhi Becton back and plugged back in. You look at Elijah Vera Tucker coming back, getting him in the mix. Breece Hall having him for a full season. I mean, I can't. They don't have to be exponentially better. We talked about it before with their defense. I mean, if they can get to 20 points a game, they're going to go to the playoffs. I mean, they were 17.4 points a game last year offensively. I think they are going to make that leap. They can go get you three more points.
They're gonna be better. Now, it's funny because we just talked about the Broncos improving after moving on from Nathaniel Hackett. The Jets improved with Nathaniel Hackett coming on board.
Come on.
Yep. The difference is this. Aaron Rodgers knows this system. Aaron Rodgers will act like a coach on the field.
He's a co-pilot.
And so whatever Nathaniel Hackett might have lacked in terms of the attention to detail, Aaron Rodgers will make up for that. And a lot of times when you're dealing with older quarterbacks and those things, like, it's going to be the way Aaron Rodgers wants it done. If he wants the Hank at 12 yards as opposed to 14, he's going to say, I want it at 12 yards. And there's going to be a level of consistency because he is going to demand that from those players. Also, I think what you have in New York, the reverence with which the young players with the Jets speak and view Aaron Rodgers makes a world of difference. These guys hang on every word that he says. And I'm not saying it's exactly like when Tom Brady went to Tampa, but it's similar in terms of that respects brings attention to detail, and that means that Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to demand for it from his players. And so rather than maybe Nathaniel Hackett doing it, Nathaniel Hackett and Aaron Rodgers may have a conversation, and then Aaron Rodgers say, hey, man, here's what we're doing. And those guys are going to perk up. So you're right. Aaron Rodgers is everything coming on board. And even if he doesn't play at an MVP level, just the organization and the attention to detail that this offense will be vastly improved over what it looked like a season ago.
I'm going to give you a little formula here. Again, this is free of charge, Buck. We can throw this in the notebook. You know, we can get this. I'm trying to go back to back. It's been a long time since I've been able to go back to back with a notebook idea. But to kind of crystallize what this looks like, right? Because we can say, okay, well, look at Hackett's track record, maybe without Aaron Rodgers, and then how much of a difference does it make, and what's that relationship like? So this is a formula, okay? So let's look at play call, the adjustment, and the execution. So if I give you, on a scale of 1 to 10, I give you an 8 play call, but the adjustment by the quarterback at the line of scrimmage is a 5, and the execution is a 4, your total is 17. Yeah. Now, if I give you a 5 out of 10 play call, the adjustment is a 9, and the execution is a 9, the end product is a 23.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, so it's like, okay, well, it's not that this is a marriage between the play caller and the quarterback. So I can take a little less in the play caller if I'm going to get the adjustment and the execution at an elite level, which even at this age, I think Aaron Rodgers can do that.
He can do that. And DJ, never forget, we've heard coaches on our podcast talk about, hey man, players, not plays. Yeah. If you get the right players in place, regardless of the play call, they can make it right. And so some of what the Jets wanted, and I think Nathaniel Hackett would even say this, last year in Denver, for whatever reason, Russell Wilson couldn't make his plays right. Aaron Rodgers will be able to make those plays right one way or the other. And so that in itself is worth the cost of admission and worth the price that they paid to make sure they brought him on board.
Yeah, I just think it's an interesting way, kind of look at that, because you have the best play call in the world, but you're still going to need adjustments at the line of scrimmage periodically, and you're all the time going to need execution. So if we can hand, if we know going into a game, you know how much easier that is? I mean, you know, you call plays, like how much easier it is to call a play when you know the guy can make me right if I'm wrong, and I know he's going to execute what we call. I mean, that's a huge burden lifted off any play caller.
I mean, look, man, the better the player, because that's the thing, and that's what guys talk about. That's what play callers talk about. Hey, man, if I call the bad play, do I have a guy on the field that can get us out of it? Meaning they can do it either at the line of scrimmage, or their athleticism or just rare ability can make it right. Pat Mahomes does that. Joe Burrow does that. All Josh Allen, Lamar, they all the elite quarterbacks, that's what they're able to do. They're able to turn, look, nothing into something. And it's really important that you have that extra ability.
All right, so we've got the Broncos, we've got the Jets. Of these remaining teams, Houston, Indy, Tennessee, the Rams, Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, Washington, Chicago. Let's go two more. Who else you buying here on a major improvement?
Major improvement to me, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I don't have
For three, by the way. Literally have the exact same three here so far.
I have a lot of confidence in their duo on the outside. Kenny Pickett throwing to George Pickens. I'm all about. I can't wait to see it. Like, quietly, Pickens had over 800 yards. Pickett has kind of found his way, and say what you want, and I don't know if he'll ever be like one of those upper echelon quarterbacks, but I do know this. He played a lot of games in college, and when he settled in to this Pittsburgh offense, he understands how to get it to execute at a certain level. Now you throw in Allen Robinson. Now you throw in an upgraded offensive line. You can run the football with Najee Harris. Takes a little pressure off. This team will not be like the Killer Bees version when they had Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, and AB, but they will be a more efficient offense that plays complementary football with what I think will eventually be a really good defense.
Yeah, and I look at second year of the quarterback, I think, is a huge deal. I think you see Pickett take that jump. I think Broderick Jones, Isaac Samalo, you bring in Herbig as depth as well along that offensive line. I think the offensive line's better. Darnell Washington, if he can stay healthy and get out there at the tight end position, it's like playing with a sixth offensive line. They're going to run the football better. That's going to take some of the pressure off of Kenny Pickett. I think this is a team that averaged 18.1 a game. Again, we're talking about getting to, you know, can they get to 21? Can they get to, I mean, they're going to be better, man. I don't see them being a bottom 10 offense again.
No, they're going to be better. And look, with a bottom 10 offense, they still were a very competitive team. So now you have better execution. You have a better offensive line play where they can control the game offensively. But this, to me, is a turn back the clock version of the Steelers. Meaning, you know, when you were in Baltimore, it was never about the Steelers' offense.
No.
It was always about their defense, their toughness, and the way they found a way to kind of play. You guys played a bunch of 17-13, 13-10 games.
Punch in the mouth games.
And I'm not saying that the Steelers are going to live like that, but offensively, they'll be better. They'll get over 20 points. But this is going to be a team that they wear you down on both sides of the ball with their physicality, their toughness. And then offensively, it just needs to be superb execution so they can win a bunch of close games.
All right, so we've got the same three thus far. We've got Denver, we've got the Jets, we've got the Steelers. Three offenses we think are going to be much, much better. One more here. We'll see if we stay on the same page thus far. But for your last one, we'll see if we end up being the same. What do you got?
Okay, so this has been the popular pick all offseason. You have people talking about Justin Fields as an MVP candidate and all those things. I won't go so far as to say that, but this offense will be improved. I think the second year together between Luke Getsy and the quarterback makes a world of difference. Not learning a new offense, knows everything, very comfortable. The play caller is comfortable with the playmaker. The playmaker is comfortable with the play caller. They've upgraded some of the personnel around him. And there's this discussion and people talk about whether Justin Fields is a passer or a thrower. I get all of that. Can he throw on time? Can he anticipate? I know this. When your quarterback rushes for over 1,100 yards, it forces the way you have to defend him on defense. So whether or not he throws with touch timing and anticipation, he is now going to see more man-on-man coverage because the only way to get the plus one in the box is you got a man up on the outside and drop the safety in. That means now bigger receivers on the outside, if they can win, he doesn't have to worry about throwing into windows. He has to throw it to a spot where the get-open specialist, whether it's Chase Claypool or DJ Moore or Mooney, those guys will be able to get open. So I expect to see a better version of Justin Fields, even though he may never be the polished passer that some people want him to be.
This offense last year was last in yards and passing yards per game. They were 29th in sacks. Now, to me, just DJ Moore and Darnell Wright, if you do nothing else, you solidify one piece of the offensive line, you add a number one wide receiver in DJ Moore. That alone is good. Not to mention Dante Foreman coming in there, some of the nice pieces they've made, some nice pickups along the way. I just, again, this is not asking the Chicago Bears to vault into being a top five offense. This is asking a team that averaged 19.2 points a game to get to 21 points a game, to get to 23 points a game. I don't see how that doesn't happen. We're on the exact same page, Buck. We had the exact same four teams. I'm with you on that. I think those are four obvious choices. If you're looking at teams that are going to be better offensively, the Denver Broncos, the New York Jets, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Chicago Bears, I don't see how those four teams aren't massively improved next year.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, and all for different reasons. But all of those teams, Denver, a lot due to coaching, personnel, organization, the Jets due to the quarterback and what they've done, the Steelers due to just the natural growth and maturity of the quarterback in the second year, and then Justin Fields being comfortable and having a better supporting cast around him, all those things lead me and you to believe that those four teams are going to be improved and going to be improved in a major way on offense.
All right, we're going to jump over to defense. We'll see if we stay on the same page here, if we end up with the same four teams or not. The offense, we are definitely on the same squad here in terms of who we like to be much better next year. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll knock out the defense. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com. One place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Buck, let's jump into the defense here. Here we go. Here are the 10 worst defenses in the league last year when it comes to points allowed. The Chicago Bears, 27.2 points a game. Arizona Cardinals, 26.4. Minnesota and Indianapolis at 25.1 points a game allowed, as well as Detroit at 25.1 points a game allowed. Houston, 24.7. Vegas, 24.6. We've got Seattle and Miami and Atlanta. They are 23-6, 23-5, 22-7. So those are the last of the bottom 10 defenses. So of those teams, Buck, if we had to pick out a few here that you think are going to be much improved this year, who do you like?
Miami. We'll start with Miami. And the reason why we like Miami is because Vic Fangio comes over. So after running a system that was very aggressive that started under Brian Flores and then Josh Boyer continued it, Vic Fangio comes in, and I won't say he will simplify everything, but the one thing that we know about Vic Fangio, you're not going to see the ball fly over the top of the defense. They're going to keep everything in front. They're going to try to stop the run with light boxes. He's going to muddy up the game with some of the man match, some of the zone match coverages that they do, that matchup zone that kind of can confound and confuse quarterbacks. And they're just going to be a very solid team. And we've seen it. Wherever Vic Fangio goes, he does a good job of fixing the defense. The Miami Dolphins will be improved because the architect is going to come in and make sure that these guys play with the detail and the discipline that's necessary to play high-level football.
Yeah, I mean, they're one of mine. So far, we're 5-for-5 and being on the same page here with Miami. I mean, Jalen Ramsey coming in there, I think you'll see a better year out of him. I think he'll be highly motivated to show that he's still got it. He's on a Hall of Fame track. And I think playing with Fangio, I think, will help him stay on that track. They got some young players that I love. We'll get to, you know, the safety, Javon Holland, probably later. Ooh. When we do our safety draft. Mm-hmm. I love his game. Jalen Phillips, I think, is just going to be – he's on his way to being a superstar. Christian Wilkins is a really, really outstanding player. So they've got pieces here on this defense.
You didn't even talk about Bradley Chubb.
Bradley Chubb, who they traded for. I mean, they've got
guys up front. Yeah, they have dudes. So it was about, in my estimation, it's about – somebody organizing all of the talent and saying, yeah, this is how we're going to play. I'm going to put you in a position where you guys can do what you do really well. We're talented enough. We just got to be on the same page so we play the defense the way they're supposed to be played on paper.
No doubt. All right, I'll give you another one here. I'll kind of work from that. Again, Miami was the ninth worst. I'm going to climb up one spot ahead of them. I'm going to go with Seattle. And I'm going to say Seattle's going to be one of those improved. Yeah. They're on your list there. Yeah. So, again, we're in agreement here. Witherspoon's one of my favorite players, Buck. I mean, he's one of my favorite players in the draft, the corner. So you upgrade there. You bring over Draymond Jones in free agency. And more than anything else, and you know this, the teams you've been with that have this, like, I just feel like defense in the NFL, a lot of it's DNA culture based. And I feel like Seattle, for the majority of Pete's time there, has, you know, they've been really, really good on that side of the ball. Now, they had to revamp it and tear it down and build it back up. I just think it's who they are. I don't see them being as bad as they were last year.
No, they won't be as bad. And I'll give you a couple more reasons. You talked about the guys up front. Draymond Jones comes over. Jaren Reed comes back, which is really important. They have young pass rushers. Boye Mafe should take a jump, giving them some edge protection. We've talked about how they've kind of recreated the LOB in the back end. Tariq Woolen. You have Kobe Bryant, who plays in the slot. You have Quandre Diggs, who's played really well as safety. Bobby Wagner comes in, and here's where Bobby Wagner can help them the most, being the traffic cop. DJ, so much of playing good defense is making sure that the communication is on point and everyone knows what the call is and how to play it. And then I would say the wild card is this. Jamal Adams has been hurt for like two of the last 3 years. They're moving him basically to weak side linebacker, so he'll be in the box. And so if they get a version of Jamal Adams that is allowed to rush the passer, make plays around the box, take him out of the coverage responsibility, well, that big nickel version of that defense is a problem. And don't forget, I think they brought over Julian Love from the New York Giants.
Yeah.
This is a very experienced, high IQ defense. And when you have those guys, a lot of times when you have experience, high IQ, great communication, you end up playing really good defense.
Yeah, and to me, anything you get at Jamal Adams is – is cherry on top. I don't think you go into this expecting anything there, coming off his injuries, and we'll see, you know, what happens there and how he goes. But Chinna Nwosu, we didn't talk about. Darrell Taylor. I mean, they've got guys now. So to me, I look for them. Why am I blanking on the linebacker from Texas Tech that's a stud?
Jordan Brooks.
They got to keep Jordan Brooks healthy. Get him back out there on the field. Get him rolling because he's a very talented player as well. So, again, I just think too much talent, and it's in their DNA. I think that they'll end up being better. So we've identified Miami and Seattle. Two more here, Buck. Two more defenses you like to take the jump.
Okay, so taking the jump, let's go with Detroit. And the reason I want to go with Detroit.
They were 3-for-3. And we did not talk about this at all. We had the same four offenses that we're buying. So far of the four, we're going to say we're 3-for-3 on defense. I got Detroit too.
They did it with a lot of young players last year. And Aaron Glenn did a really good job of at the middle of the year figuring out like, hey, you know what? I need to simplify. I need to make it easy. They became really, man, a heavy man-to-man team. He trusted those guys. He put them in position, and the young players responded. Well, now they add some older players. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson gives them kind of that vet presence in the back end. And even though he's there only on a one-year deal, we've seen, man, when he went from New Orleans to Philadelphia, he improved the Philadelphia Eagles defense. He'll do the same thing in Detroit. I just feel like everyone in Detroit understands what's on them. They can see the light at the end of the tunnel in terms of winning the division. Because of that, I think we have an opportunity to see this defense play lights out. And also know this, their offense is going to put up points. And so from a defensive standpoint, it's about rushing the passer and taking away the deep ball. If they do those things, they're going to win a ton of games.
Yeah, I love some of the additions, you know, with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He takes the ball away. He bring over Cam Sutton. Okay, they got two. Those are two solid additions there. Jack Campbell went a little bit higher than maybe I thought he would have, but he's a rock solid player. He's going to help in the middle of that defense. But more than anything else, you talked about it. They kind of figured out their personnel halfway through the year. And to me, these guys all going into their second years, they have so many good, young, second-year defensive players that it's not going to be their first trip to the league anymore. I think all those guys take a leap, and that's one of the reasons why I'm buying on them. So we've got Miami, Seattle, Detroit. There's only one more left. Are we going to go 8-for-8 here on this last one? What do you got?
So this is the tricky one because I have two names in mind, but this is strictly just on the coordinator. I have no rhyme or reason to say why, but I'm going to go with Minnesota and Brian Flores. Like they have
we finally diverged our path.
Yeah. Now my second pick was Indianapolis. So I don't know if that was on your thing.
It wasn't mine either.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So Brian Flores coming over, very aggressive style. I think people forgot how he gave people problems with that aggressive cover zero stuff that he was doing down in Miami. He is always in attack mode. And even though they've removed a lot of older pieces to that defensive puzzle, I just have a tremendous amount of confidence in him. And the year that he spent with the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think it's going to help him because he got a chance to learn how to diversify his stuff. Because remember, before, he had been all under the New England tree. That's all he knows. I think taking a little bit from Mike Tomlin, taking some from Terrell Austin, and then adding it to the stuff that he already does, it'll give them an opportunity to be a little more dynamic on defense.
Yeah, that's very fair. This is the only one we disagreed on in terms of the fourth team. I had Houston, and just a combination. Look, I don't think Will Anderson is going to set the league on fire, but he's going to be an upgrade over what they played with. He's a really good player they add to the mix. Stingley and Petrie in that secondary, second-year guys who are very gifted, I think they take a step. And then kind of going along with the theme, I just think that with the staff that they brought in there, led by D'Amico Ryans, I think that this is a defense that's just going to be better. So they're going to be my fourth pick, but we're in agreement on the first three. I can buy what you're selling on Minnesota, and you talked about Indy. But I went with Houston there. So
Say this about the Texans, having to watch them twice last year because they played the Jaguars. You can say a lot of things about Lovie Smith and and what he did. That defense played hard year round.
Yeah.
So I think D'Amico Ryan steps into a unit from a cultural standpoint. They understand how to give the effort. The execution might not have always been there, but they have some young players that played hard. You get Stingley back. You have Petrie, who I think was a nice find for them, who played really, really well. To go with Will Anderson and some of the other foundational pieces that they have, yeah, if D'Amico Ryan puts the little sprinkles of magic dust on them, they can play really good defense regardless of what the offense does.
Yeah, I've been around Matt Burke previously too, know him pretty well, their defensive coordinator. I think he does a really nice job. So getting him in the mix there, I think, again, you talked about a group that plays hard. There is some young talent there. Now, they're not set at all 11 positions. They still have some work to do in terms of roster construction, but I think they'll be better.
Oh, absolutely. They'll be better. And DJ, you can't underestimate how effort can really make up a lot of your flaws. And with a young defense, that if they're playing hard and flying to the ball and doing all that other stuff, they can make plays just on sheer hustle.
Yep. So, again, we give you five defenses then that we think will be improved. Miami, Seattle, Detroit, Houston, and Minnesota. So those are the five that we came up with there that we think are going to be much better on that side of the ball. All right, let's get to our safety draft here, Buck. I believe you are up first. This is our last. If you've missed any of the previous episodes, just go back. You can go back and listen to them as we've gone through all these positions. Again, drafting players for this upcoming season, not a lifetime achievement award, what we expect to happen this year in the guys we love. You have the first pick of the safeties. Go.
Well, I think this is a continuation of the conversation that we had on the last podcast. We were talking about franchise building blocks and pillars. So I'm going to take your guy. I'm going to take him right from up under your nose. I'm taking Derwin James, and he's going to be the first safety that I take. DJ, in a league, when we talk about positionless football kind of being the new wave, the trend, where Derwin James gives you a little bit of anything. Deep middle, in the box, out wide, he can do all of those things. I saw the little video that went viral when they had him, Joey Bosa, and Khalil Mack working on this pass rush moves. Oh, by the way, I guess the Chargers are going to start using him a little more. I think last year he had 4 sacks. Why not? He can do anything and everything, man. He's a decathlete in the back end. That's why I want him. He's the number one safety in the league.
Yep, I don't disagree with you there. I love Derwin. Get a chance to watch every single game he's played in the league. It's been a treat to watch him play. I'm going to go and I'm going to stay in the AFC. I'm going to go to Minkah Fitzpatrick in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. As Bucky likes to say, the star on the top of the Christmas tree, Buck? The ornament on top of the Christmas tree?
Yeah, just hang back there, top of the Christmas tree.
Yeah, the angel on top. Anywhere you want to go with it. Whatever you put on the top of your Christmas tree, it's Minkah Fitzpatrick. He can play as that high safety, roam range, make plays in the ball. Picked off 6 balls last year. He's going to be my first pick.
I love it, DJ. And if they wanted to, they could use him in the same way that Derwin James
Do anything you want.
He did it his rookie season with the Miami Dolphins. They just play him in the deep end. But this guy gets his hands on the ball a ton. Playmaker, he's outstanding. I understand. Those two guys should be the class of the deal. So now I'm going to go with a guy who I believe is kind of underrated in the landscape, but when you watch him on tape, he's always around it. Justin Simmons from the Denver Broncos. I mean, he is always around the ball. Makes a ton of plays. He's physical. He's active. Last season, man, 6 interceptions. Just is a very, very critical piece of that defense. And I think we may see him play, his role even expand with Vance Joseph coming back to put his hands on that defense. You know Vance likes to blitz, so I think you'll see Justin Simmons featured in a variety of different ways to get more plays, more touches on the ball.
Yeah, that's a good one. That was going to be my pick, by the way. He took him right out from under me. A lot of different places I can go here with this next one. I'm going to go with Jesse Bates. I've been a Jesse Bates guy for a very long time. I think he can do a little bit of everything. He's really, really rangy. One of the knocks on him coming out was just his, kind of inconsistency as a tackler. Very willing, but had some flyby misses. I think he's improved in that area. I'll go Jesse Bates, the big free agent ticket item there for the Atlanta Falcons.
Good. That's good. Good pick, good player. Here's where we get to, because DJ, and you know, because you sat in enough draft meetings, I would always get frustrated when it came down to safeties, because I always felt like in draft meetings, they were kind of viewed as the throwaways. Oh, we'll take the slow corner and we'll make him a safety. That's cool. We'll just put him at safety. Oh, he can't play outside, but we're going to put him in the middle. And so I'm going to do this. I'm going to go with guys who have been underappreciated. How about we go with Quandre Diggs in this spot? And look, I was tough because it was between him and the guy that we mentioned that just went to Detroit. But I'm going to take Quandre Diggs here, because Quandre Diggs has really become one of the best safeties. And on a defense in Seattle where for the longest time it was always about Jamal Adams, and now he hasn't been available. And so Quandre Diggs has been able to really flourish and become the star that no one really saw him emerging. Coming off an injury, he's bounced back and been a terrific player for the Seattle Seahawks. So I'm going to take Diggs in the spot.
Yeah, look, He's fun, man. He's talking about somebody who plays bigger than their size. There's a lot of different veterans that I can go with here. I'm actually just pulled up a couple numbers on a couple of these guys because I almost feel terrible for passing over some of them. Gosh, again, I struggle because we're talking about the future. I always tend to skew younger, and I feel like, gosh, I don't want to cut short and not account for some of the great players we have that have done a tremendous amount of great things in this league. But I'm going to still keep this moving forward. So I'm looking at young guys I still love that I think continuing to play at a high level. I'm going to go with Antoine Winfield with my next pick.
Ooh, nice.
Again, look somebody who I love. I love when he plays down, Buck, what everything he can do, force player, he can cover, he can blitz. Anything you want him to do, I think he can do. So I'm going to go with a versatile young player in Antoine Winfield.
Oh, look, I like him. And when the Buccaneers have played good defense, he's been a big part of why they play great, being able to control the middle of the field, being able to drop down, make big hits, extra player in the passing game. So I dig that. So we're not giving out lifetime achievement awards, but I think I would – regret it if I didn't at least put this guy on the list. And so I'm going to take Kevin Byard from the Tennessee Titans, and I'm going to put him there. Regardless of whether he's with the Titans continue to go forward or not, this is a really, really good player. I mean, you talk about a guy who has done it for a long time. He has been in the league going into his eighth season, and you just look at the numbers. He has 27 career interceptions. He finds a way to always be around the ball. And you talk about center field players, guys that can make plays on the deep end. They're not as many that is as talented and as effective as Kevin Byard.
Yep, that's a good one. There's so many other good ones to go with here. Veteran guys, tons of veteran guys. But and I know the veteran guys are going to get ticked at me, but I'm still going to go young. I'm going to make this a young draft for me, a younger draft, I should say. I'm going to might surprise you with this next one. I'm going to go with Juan Thornhill. I get a chance to see him with the Kansas City Chiefs. Last year, Buck, if you just look at some of the numbers on him, 5 picks, 11 forced incompletions, just really, really good in coverage. So I'm going to go with Juan Thornhill.
So I like this. And this is when people get mad because they'll have the draft posted, like one of our social teams will kind of put it out there and we'll see it and we'll get all the blowback. And so I get it. Juan Thornhill. And see, here's the thing. Juan Thornhill coming off that injury, being a playmaker. I get this. So, DJ, you talked about this guy before, but this is when he really can shine. Javon Holland from Miami.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
I mean, Javon Holland, if you had an opportunity to watch him the last couple of years playing in that defense, first on the floor, then on the Warrior, I mean, this dude is always around it. He's very active. He's active in the line of scrimmage. He can play in space. He does so many good things. And coming out of college, there was a lot of buzz on him, but I don't know if many people thought that he would be the player that he's become. He's a good player. I think he becomes a great player under Vic Fangio.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have been my next pick. Look, there's so many veterans that are good players. Micah Hyde's a really good player. Look at Poyer when he's out there, what he means to that Bills defense. Both those guys are worthy of being selected so far. You look at Buda Baker, who's been a force, somebody that's just a missile coming downhill, is a really good player. I love Jalen Petrie's game. You look at some of the numbers. He had 6 mm-hmm. picks last year, Buck. He had 10 tackles at or beyond the line of scrimmage. So somebody that can play downhill can also get his hands on the football. Really, really, really good football player. But I'm going to go with a guy who has far exceeded his draft position, who is ultra productive. He's not going to win on the stopwatch, but all he does is stay around the football, run or pass. I'm going to go with Talanoa Hufanga for the 49ers as my next pick. He was an energy guy, high energy guy at SC. Did not run fast, but plays fast. And it just feels like anytime there's a big play to be made, he's around it.
Yeah, he's a big-time player, man. And it's funny, DJ, because it's one of those draft lessons that you learn. Like, the watch has this thing. A lot of times the challenge is being able to put guys in the right spot in terms of round value. But Hufanga has been around the ball. I mean, he moved guys out. I mean, he had an opportunity to play and never left the field. And so we always love guys who can hit, run, and cover. He can do those things. And he's not necessarily the best in coverage, but he's the best at playmaking. He is a playmaker who's always around it. And you saw him do it at SC, and he's continued to do it when he got to the league with the 49ers. Yeah, he's worthy of being in that conversation for sure.
Yeah, he's a rover. I mean, just let him play rover. Let him just use his eyes and trust his instincts to go find and make plays on the football. That's what he does. So there you go. There's our safety draft. That wraps up our little draft series that we've done here. Buck, always a fun exercise. Again, I think it's a balance between appreciating what guys have done, also trying to project into the future a little bit of what we're going to see this year.
Yeah, we do. But I know we're getting a lot of angry comments. A lot of angry comments because we left.
Marcus Williams, another good one too. I mean, there's a lot of good veterans.
Yeah, Buda Baker, there are a lot of good veterans. Everyone can't make it though. Everyone can't make the list.
Yeah, and again, that's why you can have a list. If you want to put a list together, put a list together. It's our list. Anything else you want to add before we get out of here, Buck? I have not dropped a line in the water anymore. I still got about 10 of those smallmouth bass out there.
That's okay. We'll get them by the end of summer. Like just take it slowly but surely. Get a couple a week. All you got to do is get a couple a week.
I've been recruiting. I've been trying to find guys with some fishing expertise. Just from an efficiency standpoint, I mean, the amount of time, it doesn't take me long to catch them. But then getting the hook out is quite time consuming. I don't have that technique down. I'm not trying to like cut myself, hook my finger. I'm out there I'm out there with Florida State gloves on, my Florida State football gloves that my buddy gave me when he used to work there, out there fishing, trying to bring him in. I'm not trying to get that hook stuck in my finger.
You know who you need to call? You got to text Prime. You got to text Prime.
Oh, does he fish?
Does he fish? That's his thing. You got to really? Talk to our teammate. Oh yeah, Prime. That's Prime all day. Old Country Prime like to go on the lake and fish or whatever. Call him. He'll get you right.
I got to tell Dion, man, if you got anybody you recruit down here in San Diego, pop on over.
See if you can get them.
You can catch them quick now.
Yeah, get them out the pond.
Yeah, I'll take any comments, by the way. Anybody wants to let me know on social media how to efficiently get the hook out?
can you also, when you do that, can you attach a little YouTube how-to?
Yeah, a little.
So I was thinking a little visual, a little YouTube how-to get the hook out. The thing, because I certainly can't help you at all when it comes to
it's a technique that I have yet to master. I can promise you that. All right, that's gonna do it for us today. Hope you guys have enjoyed it. We'll be back later this week with another episode. We'll see you then right here on Moving Sticks. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom. Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.